desire and interest in your prayers today. I'm not standing before you with a lot of personal confidence. Some time ago, I feel like the Lord was putting something on my heart months ago now. wasn't sure then exactly what I was supposed to do with it and how I was supposed to handle it. So the scripture says that it is given for reproof, and doctrine, and instruction. So I'm not going to stand here and tell you this morning that this is going to be a easy listen. I grew up as a young man hearing Brother Fox preach. Some of you might remember that name. And he had a phrase that he would say occasionally that you would have to have known him to understand the context. He said, stout preaching made stout saints. Heard another minister say one time, you might put your seatbelt on. So if you've got one, you might put it on this morning. I'd like to turn to Psalms 127, and I'd like to notice a verse here. Beginning in verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." As a father, a parent, it's had always been my objective to instill values that would make my children strong, make them courageous, because this vision here, this verse here, it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. The youth that's here today will be the ones that'll stand in this place in the future. It's imperative that our youth get a hold of something that anchors them, yes, gives them direction, gives them something to stand on, and the ability to speak with enemies in the gate. We don't really know much about a gate and a city wall, and maybe some of you here live in a gated community, but I do not. But gates are very important because that's the access point. And the idea is that the gate would be the only access point, and that there would be a perimeter barrier of some sort, a fence, maybe a natural barrier or something. And the only way to access the vulnerable places would be at a gate. And I like this scripture because it says, they shall not be ashamed. He's talking about children that are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. It says, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. That means that the enemies were stopped at the gate. That means that there is a person of integrity standing at the gate and turning the enemy to the side and not allowing the enemy to penetrate the vulnerable places. Our families should be a place where we can be comfortable, where we can have a place of security, a stability, serenity, where little children can come into that environment and be safe and be nurtured and be instructed. But as children get older, they should be able to assume the responsibilities of contending with an enemy that's at the gate. And the enemy of our soul is doing everything he can to penetrate the barriers and come on the inside of the gate to pollute and contaminate. We've heard about this yesterday, of how the enemy is distorting people's sense of right and wrong, and because they live in darkness, they don't want to live in the light of God's word. So my burden today is that all of us, particularly our youth today, would be able to develop the strength that would help you be able to contend with the enemy that comes to the gate. And not just be able to answer questions and open the gate. Who would open the gate to an enemy? We sat here today and say, well, that would be absurd. No one would want to open the gate to the enemy. But many times the enemy comes in such a beguiling manner that it's hard to know if he's the enemy or not, or if he has any ill intent or not. And sometimes he comes in a fierce manner, one that not won't allow us to hardly know how to contend with them. They look overpowering and overwhelming and all of that. But we must be prepared, not just my generation, but the next generation and the next generation. My desire is that young men will be men, and they will be able to stop the enemy at the gate. So, you might cinch it up a little bit, and let's turn over to Proverbs, the 31st chapter. Beginning verse 1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroy kings." I value the counsel that my mother gave me. More now than I did then. I know that she wanted me to be strong. And I trust young men, young ladies too, but I trust young men today that your mother wants you to be strong. It says this is a prophecy that his mother taught him. And he began to make sure that he was listening. He says, "What, my son, what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows?" This is a son of passion, not anything inappropriate. This mother was passionate about being a mother. This mother was passionate about passing on good, sound counsel to her son. I believe the whole chapter is written from the perspective of this mother. The third verse says, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings." You know, there's ways that destroy kings. And there's a way that men have given their strength to women in the world that we live in. This word strength comes from a Hebrew word that they just give a lot of words in defining it. Probably a force, whether of men, means, or other resources, an army, wealth, virtue, valor, strength. And give comes from a Hebrew word that is pretty broad too. It means to give forth, give over, to give up. It means to apply, appoint, ascribe, assign, bestow. And the counsel here in this verse is don't give your strength to women. I know that there's a lot of things in this world that mess with our minds and cause us to wonder, what did we really see? Did we really see, what was that individual? What were they saying? What did they mean? With the help of the Lord, I'm going to say what I mean, and I'm going to mean what I say this morning. Young men, don't forfeit your values. And the power that God has given you, don't spend it for things that will disqualify you. Don't let it be given away. Remember, there's enemies at the gate. There's enemies at the gate. And they'll take you out just as quick as they possibly can. The first phrase that I wrote on the board was personal integrity. Personal integrity. In the world we live in today, it's probably more valuable than it has ever been. I remember as a small boy, I lived in a small town, and anything outside of our phone prefix was a long distance call. So our world was pretty small. My parents were very conscientious about making long-distance phone calls. And my mother's rule was, you can't go out of the sound of my voice. My mother had a pretty good voice. And she come to the back door and hollered my name, then I was supposed to respond. And if I didn't, there was trouble. And I could ride my bicycle and I could do anything that I wanted to do outside in the summer, but if she called my name, that meant that I better respond or show up in a speedy fashion. But today, you know, I didn't have a very long leash, is what I'm trying to say, to get in trouble. And today, we give each other a lot of leashes, and we can go way out there, and we're depending on personal integrity. Personal integrity. To be what you say you're going to be. To do what you say you're going to do. We can do business in foreign countries in the middle of the night. And it's surprising how well things will come around. So I want to tell you this because I feel like the Lord's brought it to my mind. I bought something from China here a while back, but I didn't know I was buying it from China. I was looking for a particular tool. I was doing some work at the chapel, and I found it for a much cheaper price, and I had looked at it, and I was convinced it was what I wanted. And so it was like 10 o'clock at night, and I thought, and they said, something about chat online now or something. I don't know much about that. So I had a question. And so I asked if this tool was in stock. Yes, we have many in stock. Okay. Do you have a warehouse in the United States? Yes, I have a warehouse in the United States. I don't think they lied to me. So I got down to the place where they kept asking me to buy. So we negotiated. I got them to throw in some extra stuff, and I said, if you don't want to sell me two extra clamps for my tool, the deal's off. I mean, you know, I'm ready to go to bed, and they want to sell something. And I said, okay, I'll buy it. And they said, if you'll pay, it's daylight over here, and we'll get it shipped out today. And they did. And if it wasn't for FedEx, it would have been here in like 4 days. You can buy other stuff from China too. You can buy so many. We do all kinds of things, and we are depending on one another this morning to have a high level of personal integrity. I'd like to turn to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 20. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Here's that mother again. Maybe not the same mother, but that same type of mother. Don't forget what your mother told you. Don't give your strength to women. I'm going to go down a path here of what's forfeited the strength of so many men. He said, bind them continually about thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. You have to continually remind yourself that personal integrity is something of extremely high value. You cannot allow this to get away from you. You can't put it on a hook. You can't put it in the closet. You can't allow it to get out of your mind. I was going to say eyesight or out of your hearing, but you can't let it get out of your mind. I must have personal integrity. I must have it. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You want to get old and be happy? You're going to have personal integrity. You want to have a bad time and be old? Then just let personal integrity go out the window. And indulge yourself and allow your strength to be forfeited, to be donated, to be given away. And you'll have a rough time and a lot of regrets as an old person. It says to keep thee. This is what the purpose of the law is. This is what the purpose of the commandments of the parents are. This is what personal integrity is all about. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with thine eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. A piece of bread. Pretty low monetary value, wouldn't you think? The smallest I've ever seen crackers sold is in a pack of two. And usually they give those away with salads. But a piece of bread, one cracker. What's the value? Nothing. You got a cracker, I got a... Well, who would deny another person a cracker? It's certainly not going to break us up. Just, here, you want 3 or 4 crackers. But a piece of bread. What did he say? Listen to this verse. For by the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. There's a hunt for your strength. There is an active pursuit of the values that you must preserve, of your personal integrity in our world today. And I'm going to tell you, women of this type are aware of the power they have with men. Ladies, if you're not consecrated to be pleasing to God, you'll use it indiscriminately too. I meant what I said. It's an abomination for a woman professing Christianity to use the means of a whorish woman on her husband. I'm not going to explain that. You think about it. It's an abomination. There's more to this than what's on the surface. I hope you got your seatbelt on. Let's go to the next chapter. It says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." Don't discount the laws of the Lord. Don't discount the values of personal integrity. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, "Thou art my sister," and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Flattery. Pretty slippery tool is flattery. You got to have to bind the laws of the Lord about your fingers, about your heart. Says in verse 6, "For at the window of my house I looked out, or looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." You know, in the past I've read this and thought, simple one. Here's a young man. Maybe someone that can't really look you in the eye. Maybe someone that kind of shuffles along and drools out of one side of his mouth. Simple. I don't think that's what this is talking about. Why would a woman of that type want any strength from that kind of person? They don't have any. Somebody that don't have the way, ability to stand up straight and look you in the eye. You know what they want? They want your strength. They want the one that stands up straight, that has a clean-cut appearance, that has physical strength, that has mental strength. They admire that. But I'm going to tell you, they'd like to take it from you. Our world has incrementally done this to us. And we've stood by and not watched the gate. It's time to watch the gate. It's time to take a stand. It's a time to turn the enemy around and send him packing. It's a time to choose to die on this hill. Don't give your strength to women. Don't be seduced and allow your personal integrity to be compromised. Don't do it. Young ladies, don't learn any tricks from the world. Learn how to be a godly woman. Learn how to fill the godly role that the Lord wants you to have. Remember what I said. It's an abomination for a woman professing Christianity to revert to the means of a whorish woman. That's what the Bible says. Lord, help us today. The strength this man had. Why did they call him simple? Why was it so obvious? I think he had been there before. He was addicted. You're going to have to cry out, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to avoid this with everything that's within me. I'm going to set up barriers. I'm going to build a taller fence. I'm going to put a stronger lock on the gate. I'm going to have enough courage to be at the gate and not let the enemy in. I'm going to have to not click on that. Not the first time. It's been multiple times he went down that street. That's why he's labeled as simple. Not because he was shuffling along and couldn't hardly stand up. And not because he was feeble and drooling and maybe had some other physical appearance that was not very attractive. Maybe he had some of your most admirable characteristics as a man. But he's simple. And he had a ring in his nose. And he was being drawn down that path. I'm going to tell you, the mother that said, don't give your strength to women, had a very important message. I'd like to move on to another thought. But before we do, I want to remind us of two scriptures in the New Testament. It says in Ephesians, fifth chapter, in the third verse, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Don't wait for three or four times. It says, don't let it be named once among you. Matthew 5 and 28, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, but I say unto you that whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. The scripture's given for instruction, for reproof. I'd like for you to take it this morning. You want to have some power? You want to see the enemy turn away and run scared? Personal integrity is a big component. It's going to be a major component. Men, don't give your strength to women. Young ladies, be a godly woman. I'd like to talk about leadership a little bit. I'd like for us to turn to Joshua. He was a leader, wasn't he? I'd like for us to turn to Joshua, the 24th chapter, read a verse that I've read many times from a death similar to this. 24 and 15, you know the story. It's at the down towards the end of Joshua's leadership. He said in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's for me and my house. You know, I found something very interesting in life, and that is everybody wants a strong leader until they get one. They want a strong leader until they've got one in their life, and then they start bucking and kicking. Joshua said, "It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." You know what the popular expression in the world is today? Let me check with my wife and see if I want to. That's not what the Bible teaches. I want to tell you, there is a heavy responsibility on men to take the spiritual leadership in the home. Not take it from a level of positional authority. You know what I mean? Positional authority is, I'm the husband, so I'm the boss. No. A leadership position of one that they want to please and they want to follow because they see personal integrity, because they see someone that lives a life and has a vision and has a goal and knows where they're going and why they're going there. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And you can interpret that and apply it in whatever way you want to this morning. But I'd like for you to apply it in a way that would lead your family to a place of spiritual prosperity and one that will give them spiritual security and help them be able to become established so that your children, when they come along, they'll be able to stand in the gate and turn the enemy around and say, "We don't want your merchandise here. I'm not going to bring that in my house. We're not going to do those kind of things. We're not going to put those kind of things on, and we're not going to take those things off." Not because I said so, but because you can see that I am in contact with my Heavenly Father and I'm living the life. Prepare yourself to be a spiritual leader. Don't just show up and expect to be one. Prepare yourself. Study, the scripture says. I don't have to read the whole Bible to us this morning, but it says that. Study to show yourself approved. Prepare. Prepare for coming to service. Don't just be dumbing around. You know what that means? I hope you do, so I don't want to take the time to explain that one. Do you have a vision of the church? Or is it just a place you go once in a while? Do you have a vision of truth? The scripture says the truth will set us free. Do you have a vision of what truth is? Or is it just what somebody else teaches? Or is it true in your heart? Are you a leader because you have the truth in your heart? Are you a leader because you know what the church is? There's not some confusion of, well, I'm not real sure of, is it the building or is it the people in the building? Or something, I don't know, something else. But be a leader. Joshua was. He said he was able to say, and I don't think there was a lot of kicking. I think his family said, "Yes, I want to do that. Dad's got it right. I believe him. I trust him. Why do I trust him? Because he consistently does the right thing. He's not flying off the handle and just off of one guardrail and then another guardrail. And you know what I'm talking about? To be a leader. Joshua was able to say, "It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." How many of us today are willing to say it? And how many of you can say it? What you think about that? Have you given your strength away? Have you succumbed to the ways of a harlot? Remember, you must have integrity to back it up. It's not going to work if you don't have integrity. If you're running off the cuff and trying to wing it all the time, you're going to fall on your face. It ain't going to work. You got to have the goods on hand. We're not playing here. Life is serious. And one of these days, we're either going to be in heaven or we're going to be in hell. And the real question is, what road are you on? Are you being a leader? Have you been succumbed? Have you succumbed to the power of the woman? I read something recently. You know, it's already been said how mixed up the world is. I read something not so long ago that said that the Y chromosome is a mutation anyway, and men are going to disappear. Y'all can research that if you want to. The only good part about their prophecy is it's going to take about 4 million years for it to get that way. But they didn't read the Bible, because the Bible said that God made man first. And God intended for us to be leaders. And he gave us a precious helpmeet in this world. And that's the order. And marriage is beautiful, yes. And it's very rewarding. But the enemy comes around and he wants to distort so many things in our world to now they're propagating this thing that we're just a fluke anyway. Just give it enough time and all of us flukes will disappear. I don't believe that'll happen before the Lord comes. I'd like to talk about judgment a little bit. You know, if you can't make good judgment, I remember not so long ago we had I don't even remember the specifics, but we were needing to make a decision on something, and I changed my mind a couple times. And my wife said, that's not like you. Why wasn't it? She wasn't used to that. You know, men, don't make rash judgment, but make sound judgment. And don't just pop off something. Consider what you're fixing to make judgment on. But I'd like to go to Job, the second chapter. We know the situation here. Job comes under persecution, and everybody turned against him, including his wife. And verse 9, he says, "Then said his wife, unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. She's giving him advice. But he said unto her, thou speakest as the foolish woman speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? In all of this. You know, he couldn't have said that if he hadn't had personal integrity. And he couldn't have said that if he hadn't have been practicing good leadership. He couldn't have said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. That's judgment. You ever tried that? That's pretty tall. Or did you give your strength away? You know what the Lord wants? He wants some real men. He wants some godly men. He don't want someone that can't make a judgment call. He doesn't want people that can't lead. And he doesn't want someone that is simple. He wants you to be strong. Don't give your strength away. Don't defer leadership to the one that's not supposed to be the leader. You know, if you've given your strength to women in exchange for gratification, you'll not be able to judge righteous judgment. It just won't happen. I'd like to turn to Judges, the 16th chapter. Verse 1 said, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went into her. You already know this is going to end bad, right? Why? Because he didn't have personal integrity. You know what God wanted out of him? To be a leader. You know why he couldn't be a leader? Because he didn't have personal integrity. I don't know what Samson looked like. He might have been 7 foot tall and 350 pounds. And tough as nails. I don't know. But he might not have been too. I know this. He killed a bunch of enemies with an animal bone. I know that he picked up the gates and the posts of the city and walked off with them. And he did all of that because of what? Because of God's blessings and mercy on him. And I believe God will help us and be merciful to us men until we get our act together. He's looking for somebody that's got personal integrity. He's looking for someone that's willing to be a leader and live in such a manner that they can say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to do those things. We're not going to go those places. And we're going to have this in our home. That's what he's looking for. You want to be able to be victorious in the future? Teach your children how to be men. Don't forfeit and don't give away your strength. I'd like to skip down to the 15th verse, I believe, 16th chapter. Listen to how this works. And she said unto him, this is that person he went into, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Don't you think there probably was some tears that got turned on about then? Don't you think there was some little, I don't know, expressions and you just fill in the blanks. There was some powers going on here that is not written down. The three times you've mocked me and you didn't really tell me the answer. You know, that should have been his sign to get out of there.
Yes.
You know, it should be our sign when we realize we went down the wrong path. You know that fellow that I talked about, the simple one? He'd been down there before. You start down that street, whether it's on the internet or wherever it is, you start down that street, it ought to be the sign. I need to turn around. I ain't got no business down here. I know what the devil's advertising. I know how things work a little bit. You can look at my hair and tell I'm not a newbie. You know, personal integrity. Samson didn't have it. He got himself in a place where it sounded reasonable to negotiate. Well, I have kind of mocked her. It's not even the basis for a discussion. Why was you even having that discussion to start with? You weren't being a leader, you weren't having personal integrity, but yet you're down here deciding right and wrong between two wrongs. It don't make no sense. That's the way the world operates. So, that's what we have here. She said, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words, that's called nagging, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. I just got to do something. Don't give your strength up. I mean what I say. That he told her all his heart. He went ahead and told. He disclosed the very thing that he was told to never tell anybody. By who? By God. What does Scripture say? Don't give your strength to women. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I have been shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord. Duh. That's what she was doing this all about. She had told her all his heart. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has shewed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came and brought money. Brought money. For what? Something he give away. You know, the enemy will take your valuable things and sell it on the market. He will take your integrity, your mental capability, your physical strength, your everything about you that makes you a man. And he'll sell it. Whatever market you want to call it, but he'll squander it. You know, we live in a world today that people like to steal catalytic converters. They steal one, sell it for $100, and it costs $2,000 to put one back on. The enemy will steal from you if you'll give it away. It's your choice. It was Samson's choice. And he gave it away. And she went and sold it for pennies on the dollar. Pennies on the dollar. What was Samson's strength worth to the children of Israel? God gave him the strength to single-handedly take on a whole army. Didn't he? And he squandered it. For a little time with somebody that he shouldn't have been with in the first place. Pennies on the dollar. The power and the strength that God had ordained for Samson to have was sold on a market that wasn't even equitable. Samson was a miserable failure as a man of strength. His strength was literally given to women. He left this world blind and in disgrace. And you can too. The choice is yours.